Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking barbecue tonight. How do you have the best barbecue possible for the summer season? My guests are Victor Fryer, grill master with Lefty's Barbecue Unlimited in Waldorf, Maryland, and Chef Sammy Davis. He's the owner of Milk and Honey Cafe in Laurel, Maryland. If you have any questions about your grilling, whatever it happens to be for your barbecue this weekend or and beyond, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before the break, we were talking to Dee. She was talking about beer can chicken. So what does, help me with this, Victor, what does the beer do, and how long should you keep the whole chicken over the can? And should you parboil it? How does that work? Run me through that.
Well, from what I've known from experience from doing with the beer can chicken, it just brings a hydration to the chicken. When you're doing with the beer can chicken, that's what the beer is for. The beer, once the beer sits inside of the chicken, and the heat rises and that can bursts open, it brings that moisture back into the chicken, keeping your chicken nice and juicy. That's all it is.
Ah, okay, didn't know that. And see, Sammy said, you know, Pabst Blue Ribbon or Michelob, no Heineken or
no.
Grolsch or nothing fancy, right?
Nothing harsh no kind of hard liquor on beer on it. On
no
it,
hard on liquor on the beer. Chicken. All right. Well, Dee, thank you so much.
Let us know.
Thank you for having me.
You're quite welcome. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Chico calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling, Chico. What's on your mind?
Hello, barbecue people. Even Mr. Fisher, I know he loves to barbecue and grill as well. I've been to many barbecues, and I'm visually impaired. And mm-hmm. I want to know, how can someone who has a visually impairment barbecue, because I've been to other barbecues, I've seen other sighted people barbecue, but I've never seen a blind person get on the grill and barbecue and do grilling.
Is that safe? I mean, you said you're visually impaired, Chico. How much can you see, if any at all?
I have light perception, and I know when the light is on and off. But I'm a little scared to go on the grill because I'm afraid I might burn myself, or I don't know how to turn the meat. I don't know which side is medium rare, which is well done. I don't know. I mean, I'm scared I might touch the burner.
Yeah. Your thoughts about that, Sammy?
Infrared. He can cook with infrared burners.
Now, what does that mean?
This isn't anything that's been tested or tried and true for a visually impaired person, but I just know it to be true. It's a trick that we use in a restaurant sometimes. Infrareds sometimes cook better than charcoal or the regular grills or gas grills, but infrared burners, he can put them on a temp, and he can have somebody come and set the gauges so that he'll know exactly what. And then there's a thermometer that beeps for him where he can inject the food, and it'll beep and let him know. The beeping sound will let him know what temperature it's at.
Wow.
He'll be able to identify it that way.
Does it come with the grill, or I have to get...
Say that again.
He said, does it come with the grill? Is that something he has to buy separately, or
yeah,
where can he find that?
It's at high-end chef stores, the beeping one. I think it gives off like a beep one or a beep two, you know, something like that. I know that it does that, though. But infrared cooking for him would be great.
Interesting. Something
and infrared cooks amazingly. At some of these high-end steak restaurants, they use the infrared grills. And I'm talking about at high-end steak restaurants where the check average is almost $200 per person.
Ooh, yeah. I'll stick with the lady out in Frederick just buying a new bag. But well, there you go, Chico, something for you to think about. And certainly whatever you do, please be safe. We want you to be around to continue listening to the program. So, again, certainly thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about barbecue. What's the best way to cook the best foods for the summer season. Let's go to Jay. Jay, calling from D.C. What's on your mind, Jay?
Yes. Good evening.
Hey, how are you?
I just want to – I already got y'all opinions on gas versus charcoal.
Mm-hmm.
How do y'all feel about this new phenomenon of pellet grills?
What kind of grills?
Pellet.
Pellet?
Wood pellet grills.
Do you know anything about that, Victor?
You said wood pellet
wood
grills?
Wood pellet grills.
Yeah. Is that what the pellet chips you talking about?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is.
Okay, yeah. I've seen those here and there, but as far as I know, the wood pellets. I mean, if you're cooking something like a small like a hamburgers maybe or hot dogs, that's something you can use that for. But when it comes to you doing like your steaks and your fishes and things like that of that nature, you want to use your nice chunks of wood pieces, especially like you're doing like pork shoulders or briskets on the grill. You want to get to the heavy pieces of wood. The pellets are for like your small backdoor barbecues that you want to do for the pellets.
How about that, Sammy?
No, I don't. The wood pellet I've seen, I have no experience with cooking with it at all. I couldn't lend you no opinion.
Yeah, let's keep it old school, Jay. How about that?
I was sticking to the wood.
Well, Jay, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's talk a little bit more about safety. One of the things, and we discussed this, Sammy, we discussed this the last time you were here. People are still using lighter fluid.
Oof.
Yeah. Talk to me about your thoughts about that.
Let's identify those people and definitely not go to their houses for barbecue.
And what's the problem with that? What's wrong with the lighter
fluid? They don't burn it off. They don't know how to burn it off. Certainly chefs like Victor and, you know, the experienced chefs, you know, who do barbecue live can probably work with lighter fluid. But just the average person who went to the local store and grab some charcoal and some lighter fluid, I promise you that lighter fluid won't burn off before they put that meat on there.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you it won't.
And the reason that it's probably not the best, I would imagine, is about the taste.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's like eating gas almost, because it's so much carbon from that. It's one of the worst tastes in the world. And you've seen people throw lighter fluid on there with the grill, with the grates on top of the charcoal. And they're putting lighter fluid on there. So, and they're not even going back to wipe off the grates.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Victor, how would you recommend? Because I know, you know, at Lefty's, you've got the huge grill. But for the folks who've got your basic, you know, rectangular covered grill, or even if you've got your little round Weber, for example, how would you recommend that they light their grill and their charcoal?
Less with the lighter fluid. As he said, the lighter fluid is just mainly to light that charcoal. Get that charcoal lit, and once that charcoal is lit, you want to put your wood pieces on there and get your wood rocking and rolling. For the summertime, man. As I said before, man, that lighter fluid, man. That, like you said, that carbon and the taste in your food. It puts that blackening to your food, and your food just comes out black and has that dull taste to it. You know, you have no flavor whatsoever, and people just like, and people think that the food is cooked, and it's not cooked, and it's just charred. It's just been charred.
Just charred on the outside,
just
raw
charred,
on the
charred on the outside and raw on the inside, and that's not what you want, man. That is not what you want, man. So by all means, stay away from that lighter fluid. Lighter fluid is just, you don't need that much of it. You know, like a cap size maybe.
And it goes on the bottom.
Yeah, it goes on the bottom.
Spray just, the top of it.
Yeah, people, you see many times in TVs and on movies as well, you know, people always just dousing the barbecue with that lighter fluid to extinguish that fire. And that's not what you want to do, man. Unless you want to.
Fire starts from the bottom.
From the bottom. That's right.
It goes
that's
to
right.
the top. Not from the top to the bottom.
Now, I have a chimney, a charcoal chimney. Do either one of you guys use those?
The chimney starters?
Yeah.
Yeah, those. That's to start you off with. That's perfect, I think, to use. That right there, you're not even using a lighter fluid from what I'm understanding. You don't use no lighter fluid. You take a piece of paper, you put it, you burn it with the at the bottom of the chimney. You put the charcoal inside the chimney chute, and you light that up. And once the charcoals get nice with that nice white ashes, you pour those charcoals onto your grill to start you off. Mm-hmm. And those are for people that's beginning. That's the perfect way to begin your barbecue and start your barbecue off.
The real barbecue people are going to be out there early in the morning starting those fires. The bad barbecues will be lighting those fires late, about a couple hours before they want to eat.
Okay, but explain. Okay, now, Victor, explain that to me, because let's say if I want to eat at 3, when should I start heating up my grill? And I'm not talking about a party. I'm just talking about, a few steaks, some chicken wings, some vegetables, and just maybe some hot dogs and hamburgers or what have you, just for, let's say, a handful of people. What time should I start warming up the grill?
I would start. I probably would start about 9-10 o'clock in the morning. Start my grill running and going.
Mm-hmm.
About 9-10 o'clock, get everything ready to roll, rocking and rolling. Got my grill nice and hot, and then about 10, 11 o'clock is when you start throwing your meats on there, and it starts cooking everything low and slow.
Uh-huh.
And then by the time you get start to arrive around 1-2 o'clock, by 3 o'clock hits, that's when everything is coming off the grill with the grill lines and having everything looking nice and sexy on the grill.
I didn't know that, because I was probably one who would start around the middle of the day, but I guess it's the same thing. But you're cooking and you're cooking practically all afternoon. Well, let's talk a little bit about the actual meal. Chicken. You mentioned chicken earlier, Sammy.
Yes, sir.
When you have wings, I'm not talking about a whole chicken. I'm talking about chicken parts, chicken wings, legs, chicken breast. Explain the process, because you mentioned earlier a lot of folks throw raw chicken on the grill, and that's not a good thing. So what should they do? How should they do it?
That's a big no-no. You want to get you a big pot of water, boil it on the stove, and pour some vinegar in it, maybe about a cup of vinegar to maybe 2 gallons of water. Get you some good vinegar in it.
What kind of vinegar, white or cider?
Apple cider, exactly, apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
Pour that in there. And then bring it down to a simmer and season it. Go ahead, pour all your seasonings in there, whatever you like, Lowry seasoning salt, garlic salt, whatever you want. Go ahead, take that raw chicken and put it in there and just let it sit in there for maybe about 20 minutes. 20 minutes at a nice low, low, low simmer. Pull it out, season it again in a bowl, and then you put it on the grill. And watch the difference.
Okay. And what does that vinegar do?
The vinegar opens it up. It's the same thing that it keeps it closed. It opens it up, but it keeps it closed. It's the same reason why you pour vinegar in a pot when you're doing poached eggs. Put eggs in boiling water and try to poach them without vinegar. You see, it goes all over the place in the pot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you pour that cap of vinegar in there and do poached eggs, you see that the eggs stay close together to itself. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Vinegar kind of restricts it from opening up too much and all the juices being released.
Ah, okay. Okay, wonderful. And your thoughts about seasoning, putting the sauce on your chicken, Victor, because again, a lot of people have a tendency to burn it, even if they don't put the raw chicken on. See, Sammy's laughing at me because it's trial and error for me. So, but talk to me about sauce. What without giving away any secrets, what should people do to really have the best sauce for their chicken?
The best thing to do, I would say, is after your meat is fully cooked. I would then put my barbecue sauce on. People tend to go too far in advance and throw that barbecue sauce on their chickens while the chicken is cooking. What that tends to do is to burn your meats up, because most barbecue sauces it comes with a sugar base inside of it, and it kind of burns the meat while it's cooking on the grill. So what you want to do is have that barbecue sauce laid on there after the meat is fully cooked. Once you see that your meats have that good smoky flavor and good color to it and good texture to it, then you want to lay your barbecue sauce on top of your meats and have it cooked for the rest of the day.
Right. How long do you leave them? Like, if you once you put your sauce on, I mean, do you leave it on for like a minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or
You can leave it on. I mean, once your meats are fully cooked, and you put that barbecue sauce on there, you can let it sit and marinate for the remainder of the time.
But you can always pull it off
and just brush it and keep brushing it from time to time.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm
learning as you go.
Not only am I learning as I go, I'm salivating. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we want to talk about beef. It's what's for dinner. We're going to talk about that this weekend. Also, we're going to talk about some vegetables and also desserts on the grill. Really? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment.
YouTube. Drums, please.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about having the best barbecue possible during this Memorial Day weekend and on into the summer. I'm here with Victor Fryer, grill master with Lefty's Barbecue Unlimited in Waldorf, Maryland, and Chef Sammy Davis, owner of Milk and Honey Cafe in Laurel, Maryland. If you have any questions, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay, let's talk about meats, Sammy. I like ribeyes, but what is the best steak, best kind of steak for the grill? Can you do anything?
That tomahawk ribeye, that bone-in ribeye, nothing better than that.
Okay, I'm on point there. So
you nailed that one.
Finally, so what do I do? Help me with that.
That one you got to season heavily. You don't want to see any red. You don't when you grilling them steaks on them grills, you basically don't want to see any red. You're trying to develop a scab to lock all the juices in. Now, I'm not sure what temperature you like your steak cooked to.
Medium.
Yeah, I'm a medium rare guy myself. I sometimes can do a medium on a real thick steak.
Mm-hmm.
By the time it gets to medium, it still leaves a lot of red in there if it's a nice thick cut one. But you want to get you a nice thick cut steak. I'm talking about a 20-ounce bone-in ribeye with lots of marbling. There's nothing more amazing to eat off the grill than that.
So how do you season it? And you said heavily seasoned. Explain that to me.
Heavily seasoned. Put that thing on a sheet tray or some type of pan. Pre-mix all your seasonings, whatever your little desires are that you like. Whatever
what do you like?
Profile you like.
What do you like?
In a bowl.
What do you like? I was saying, what do you like?
Oh, what do I like? Garlic salt, Lowry seasoning salt, a little bit of onion powder, celery salt, and that's about it. Those four things that do me real good. Sometimes I might throw a maple flavor in there or a bourbon flavor in there. I might do one of those too. Or mesquite flavor sometimes if I'm feeling adventurous. But for the most part, that's it. Those four things that do me well, coat the heck out of it, and I just, man, put that thing on the grill, and you just watch magic happen.
How long?
Me, on the grill, mine is about 4.5, depending on the thickness of the steak, about a 20-ounce steak, I'm doing about 4.5, 5 minutes on each side. Basically, you can turn a steak north, south, east, and west. If you start off in the north position, flip it over, go south, for maybe 4 minutes, go maybe east for another 2 minutes, and another 2 minutes go west. So you're going north, south, east, west. That's if you don't have the diamond grill that we was talking about earlier. But not only will that cook a steak perfectly, but it give you perfect grill marks.
Okay. Your thoughts about meat, Victor? What's your best meat and seasoning?
I would go with a less fatty type of a steak as well. The ribeye is perfect, as you said. I wouldn't go with no other steak than a ribeye steak myself because it has great marbleization in the ribeye steaks, man. Best season to use that I use is a Lefty's. Lefty's has a great dry rub seasoning that we have, and it goes perfect for all your blends of meats
mm-hmm.
as well. So I would just do lightly season my steaks. And I put that bad boy on the grill in the high heat, put the grill marks on it, and then put it low and slow on the grill and let it cook the rest of the way, however you want it to cook, boss.
Now, when you say dry rub, talk to me about that because and help me with this, because I read that for steaks, however you cook them, whether it's, you know, whether it's in a cast iron skillet or on the grill, that it's better to have the steak room temperature instead of cold out of the refrigerator. Is that true, or does it matter?
Yeah, it does. It does matter. Having your steaks at a room temperature, because your steaks are already at a nice, good temperature, as far as it being nice and warm. Your meats are already nice and warm and already laid out and thawed out. Mm-hmm. So you don't want it to be cold, bringing from cold to high heats, because you would think that when you do that from cold to high heats, your outside part of your meat will be cooked, but the inside will still be raw and not cooked as well.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people who get those freezer steaks and bring them out, and they season them up and thinking they can just throw them on the grill and have it rocking and rolling.
There will be no rocking and rolling. It'll just be rock.
It'll just be all rock. You just, mm-hmm. you know, I had a buddy of mine one time did that, and he was just like, man, just taste the steak. And I was just like, and I took. The outside looked real pretty, man. But once you cut into that steak, it was just like blood and gore, and it was just like.
Not good.
Yeah. It wasn't a good texture. It wasn't a good feel at all, man. Once I put that knife to that steak and I showed him, he was just like, oh, I thought it was that. So I could tell you by hand, man, but how your steaks should be done.
Just make sure they're room temperature. And now let's talk, Vic, Sammy, about fish, seafood. I have some sea bass fillet that I bought this week.
And you're a rich man. rich man. Grilling.
You know, it was on sale.
You went straight to the top.
It was on sale. And and they're sitting in my refrigerator now. What should I do with them?
Sea bass is a great fish.
Yeah.
But so simple on the grill. So simple. Is the skin still on it?
Yes. On one side, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Skin is still on it, right?
Mm-hmm. Because I picked my fish. And he cut it. He filleted them at the market. So
yeah. Good sea salt, cracked black pepper, rosemary, lemon, and hit it with olive oil afterwards. If you're not really comfortable with putting it straight on the grill, put a little piece of foil under it and let it go. But because you still had a skin on it, mm-hmm. you should still be pretty good. Just make sure you really oil that grill so that it doesn't. You're gonna catch heck trying to get it off. If you don't, it's going to kind of rip apart. But very, very simple. You have a beautiful piece of fish. A beautiful piece of fish. Don't mess it up.
Yeah, well, that's why.
Sea salt, black pepper, a little bit of rosemary, thyme, whichever one of those herbs that you prefer. You can mm-hmm. do tarragon and do lemon. And when it comes off, just hit it with a little bit of olive oil and watch what happens.
Now explain to me, because, like I said, these are full fillet pieces. Each piece is probably, I don't know, about 8 by 5 inches. I mean, they're big pieces.
Well, that's a good 6 to 7 ounce piece of fillet you got there.
So when you say rosemary and, you know, the tarragon, I mean, do I lay it on top of the fish?
Yeah, just lay it right on top. This is the real way. Let me go the high end way. Since you a high end guy, you done bought this high end fish.
You're messing with me.
I'm gonna go ahead and give you, put that thing in a foil. Chef Vic, do you agree with me? Put it in a foil sack.
Like a foil pocket or something.
Yeah, put it in a foil pocket.
Most definitely.
Put it in a foil pocket. Do that. Put it in a foil pocket. Put your herbs in the inside of it. You don't have to break anything down. You could put it in there whole.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to chop it up, do anything to it, break the sprigs off, put it in there, slice you up some lemons or chop you up some lemons, however you want to do it, some lemon wedges. Put that in there, crack sea salt, crack black pepper in there, put it in that foil pocket, lay that thing on the grill, come back in about, those are 7 ounce pieces, come back in about 10 to 12 minutes. And that's going to be one of the most amazing pieces of fish you ever have.
What's the temperature for my grill? I have a thermometer on my grill that it sits.
For those meats, mm-hmm. you want to go heat 250, no more than 300. But on that fish, you could do that fish around about 325.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. Now, what about shellfish, Victor? Shrimp or any other kind of, you know, like maybe a, you know, a lobster tail, you know, can you smoke it? Can you, you know, how would you recommend if you had some like big tiger shrimp or something like that?
With the shrimp and your lobster tails and things like that, those you don't want to play around too much long on the grill, because shrimp for one is one thing that gets real tight. You cook it for too long and it gets tight on the grill, then the shrimp is done. Mm-hmm. You know, so you don't want to play around too long with the shrimp. If you get your shrimp raw, you want to have it nice and seasoned and cook it in the high heat quick and fast and get it out of there.
So you're talking about 3 minutes at the most, maybe?
Yeah, shrimp shouldn't take that long to cook, man. Shrimp doesn't take that long to cook on a high heat grill. It doesn't take that long to cook, man. Once it's already seasoned, it shouldn't take that long to cook for your shrimps, man. Mm-hmm. And shellfishes.
Now, what about vegetables? Because, you know, a lot of people are, you know, everybody's trying to be healthy. And, you know, you've got you know, asparagus, and you've got... and I know you all lefties does a
Brussels sprouts
and the like. Man, I tell you, we're losing time. Give me the rundown on doing vegetables on the grill real quick, Victor.
All right. Well, the Brussels sprouts, what we do at Lefty's Barbecue, we season our Brussels sprouts nice with a good seasoning and marinade, and we throw them in the high heat. And that hickory wood and cherry wood smoke it out real good. And I put that smoke flavor onto the Brussels sprouts and pull them back off.
How long for the Brussels sprouts?
About 2 to 3 minutes, boss.
Really? Just 2 or 3 minutes?
About 2 or 3 minutes. Once the Brussels sprouts hit the grill and you roll them around at a high heat, you don't want it to cook too much, because the Brussels sprouts don't take that long on the grill. Vegetables don't take but 2 to 3 minutes on the grill in a high heat.
And this grilled pound cake, I only have a minute left. How do you okay, you got a pound cake, and
oh,
then
my
what?
The pound cake, the grilled pound cake is very excellent, man. Butter the pound cake on both sides. We butter the pound cake on both sides, and we use either a strawberry or blueberry, and we top it off with some whipped cream, and it comes out very delightful.
But when do you put it on the grill?
Right, we put it on the grill in the mid heat. We don't want to put it in the high heat too much, because you don't want it to burn and go out and get out of control. But you put it right there in the mid heat, put them grill lines on both sides, and pull it off, pull that bad boy off, and that grilled pound cake, when you get a bite into it,
some foolishness.
A bite of heaven right there.
A bite of heaven. A foolish bite of heaven. Boy, I tell you, Victor Fryer, Chef Sammy Davis, thank you both so very, very much. Look,
thank you. Thank you for having me.
I promise I will make you all proud.
Put them pics up on Instagram.
You know I always do. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this